Hi, everybody, and welcome to Observing with Webb for February of 2019, where a high school astronomy teacher tells you what you're looking at, why it's so cool, and what you should check out later this month at night. So February is starting out slow, but it picks up speed as the dawn skies get crowded with some of our favorite planets, a lunar flyby of those planets, an occultation of Mars for some people in North America and South America, and Venus shining bright all month, as well as all the naked eye planets visible at some point. Don't forget, you can watch this on YouTube, catch the podcast on Stitcher or iTunes or Podbean, and sign up for the email. So anyway, let's go on to the events. So the moon, let's talk about that. We're going to start off February with a first quarter moon on the 1st. That's when the right half is lit up and it's visible until midnight. Then a week later, we have the full moon visible all night on February 9th. The last quarter moon then is on the 15th. That's when we still have some dark skies after sunset, but the moon is up around midnight and into the morning. That's the 15th for the last quarter moon. And lastly, the new moon is on the 23rd. So we're going to get the darkest skies in the second half of the month. And that's okay, because that's actually when some of the more fun stuff happens. In fact, as far as events go, we don't really have anything until the 17th or 18th. So we're going to talk about two close encounters with the moon, but let me first talk about the moon occulting Mars. I was actually surprised that not a whole lot of ado was made about this, but I kind of understand why. Now, for people on the East Coast, this is going to happen during dawn, okay? So it's kind of hard to see. Actually, let me back up a little bit. So the planets, the sun, the moon, they all pretty much follow this path in the sky called the ecliptic. It's the plane of our solar system, right? And it, the planets and the moon, they only vary off of that by a few degrees, right? So if you're looking for planets, you really just want to look in those areas. Now, that variation makes it uncommon, but not unusual, for the moon to pass directly in front of planets and then completely block or occult the planet. Nothing to do with witchcraft here. This happens in the morning hours of February 18th. Now, it's going to be tough to spot. Like I was saying, you'll need a small telescope in order to find Mars. And it's also twilight, so you're going to have that blue sky around, and it's, you know, Mars is somewhat dim. However, whether you see it or not, Mars will disappear behind the moon at about 7:30 in the morning, and it will reappear at 9 in the morning. So if you have a tracking scope, this probably wouldn't be too hard, but you do have to get up early in the morning, set it up to track Mars, and then just keep on watching, make sure you align it well, and you know, just keep on looking. But if you really want to see this and see it in the dark, you want to go west. You want to go past the Mississippi River, maybe even out toward California. I didn't actually test that one, but I'd say past Mississippi River, get out there, and you should be able to see it in the morning sky when it's still dark. But that's pretty cool. I bet you there's some places out there that'll have a live cast, okay, broadcast of it. So go ahead, check it out. I think it's going to be pretty cool. Anyway, so the other event is really, well, two events, the close encounters, will be with the moon. The first one is on the 17th to the 20th, and that's when the moon will pass by Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. So, spoiler alert for the planets, we're going to have Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn in the morning skies for most of the month. So the 17th to the 20th is probably the best week of the month to get out there, because you get out after 6 a.m. each morning, and this is a Monday to a Thursday, and just, first of all, enjoy that lineup. It's going to look great. And Saturn will be lowest in the sky in the southeast. Jupiter up and to the right of that, I believe about 10 degrees or so, and then Mars up and to the right of that about 13 degrees, something like that. So Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, and they're just going to look brighter than all the stars around them. It's going to look great. However, the moon comes by during that week. So on the 17th, the moon will be up and to the right of Mars. Okay, so you get this nice lineup, almost evenly spaced, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, and then the moon. Then on the next day, the 18th, it's right next to Mars. It occults it if you're further west. And then on the next morning, it moves down and to the left and is just right near Jupiter, about 5 degrees to the right of Jupiter on the 19th. And then on the 20th, it's less than 3 degrees down and to the left of Saturn. So it's just kind of neat to sort of track the moon, see how it moves each morning, each day, and just sort of, you know, check it out, get some good pictures. I think that's going to be a good time for those. And that really eliminates that event. That's a morning one. And then on the 26th to the 28th, you have a nice close encounter with the moon and Venus. So just get out after sunset now, so you don't have to get up in the morning, and just watch the southwestern sky. First of all, enjoy a good sunset. On the 26th, the moon will be a very young, thin crescent moon, about a fist width below Venus. Okay. Now on the next night, the moon will move up along the ecliptic to just 6 degrees to the left of Venus. 6 degrees. So it's about, if you put three fingers together, the width of your three fingers together at arm's length. And it'll be a little thicker and a little higher. And then on the 28th, the moon is about 14 degrees up and to the left of Venus, thicker and higher yet again, but it's just gorgeous. Okay. So there you go. Basically, the second half is when you want to check this stuff out, right? So 17th to the 20th, get out there in the mornings. 26th to the 28th, get out there at sunset. So with that, let's talk about some of the planets. So around sunset, you're going to be able to find Venus in the southwest and Mercury, but only for the first 2 weeks. Now, Venus is spending the entire month, it's climbing to about 40 degrees above the southwestern horizon, west-southwestern horizon. So all you need is a decent view of the western sky. Just watch the sunset, and Venus will be the brightest light out there, the first object you see. Just gorgeous. There's just something beautiful about it being a lonely bright light in like a surrounding blue sea. It's just gorgeous. Now, Mercury might also be there. You might catch it during the first 2 weeks of February. That's when it's about 10 degrees above the southwestern horizon and about as high as it's going to get. So look around 6 p.m. You're looking for the dot that's brighter than the stars, but dimmer than Venus, and also much lower along the ecliptic and in the sky. So that's Mercury and Venus. Mercury will, for the last 2 weeks, dive back toward the sun from our perspective. Now, there's really nothing throughout the night, although Venus probably sets, I'm going to guess, like 8 o'clock. So Venus will be up there for quite a while, but really nothing throughout the night. And then we get to the morning. Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, but Saturn just for the last 2 weeks for the most part. So let's start off talking about Mars, since that's the higher one. If you get out there after 4:30, but before sunrise, just look southeast, find the ruddy red point of light that is Mars. It's between Sagittarius and Scorpius in the beginning of the month, and then by the end of the month, it actually moves right to the top of the teapot lid of Sagittarius. It's kind of dim, but it's red, it's cool, it's definitely different than the stars around it. Now, Jupiter, though, Jupiter trails Mars by about 25 degrees in about 2 hours at the start of February. Okay, it rises about 6 a.m., but by the end of the month, it will only be about 10 degrees or about one fist width from Mars, and it rises around 4:30. Jupiter's going to be the bright one. I think you're going to see that first out of anything else, or that'll be the last star to dim. Lastly, we get Saturn. Saturn finally makes its appearance known yet again for another season of being in the mornings. And about 2 weeks into the month, you should be able to catch Saturn less than 10 degrees down and to the left of Jupiter in the southeast. Now, that's cool. Saturn down and to the left of Jupiter with Mars up and to the right of Jupiter. It's gorgeous. But that's not the coolest part. Keep an eye out for this entire year. And the reason I say that is because this is when Saturn really starts its long, slow slog to try to catch up to Jupiter. And when does it catch up to Jupiter? On the winter solstice. It gets to within less than 1/10 of 1 degree of Jupiter. This will be a full-blown conjunction right on the winter solstice of this year, but keep watching. Watch and see how they get closer and closer and closer together. But anyway, that's cool. Saturn, Jupiter, Mars in the morning. Check that out. And yeah, let's move on to the constellations that we can see. So as usual, I recommend going to skymaps.com to find a good sky map. They do a great job every single month of actually putting a digital version of, or a paper version of the sky out there, and some of the types of things that I list here. But anyway, let's talk about what you can see after dinner. And now is the best time for Orion and his winter companions. So by 7 p.m., Orion is about as high as it will get for the night, about halfway up the southern sky, and it's really tempting us to tour all of the winter constellations. So here's how you do that. So begin by finding Orion by looking for the three stars in almost a straight line close to each other. This is Orion's belt. And that belt is surrounded by a bigger vertical, almost a rectangle of stars. Now, Orion's going to be our guidepost for the other winter constellations. So start at the left belt star, draw a line connecting all three of them, and then continue that line far past the last belt star, about 20 degrees, or about 2 fist widths held at arm's length. There you should be able to find the V constellation of Taurus the Bull, with bright red Aldebaran at the top left of the V. So Taurus is actually part of a big cluster of stars known as the Hyades, H-Y-A-D-E-S. But anyway, remember that line you just made? Well, follow it, not just the 20, but about 10 degrees further, about one more fist width, and you'll find a mini, mini dipper of stars called the Pleiades. Now, this is another open cluster of stars. It's much smaller than the Hyades, and it's within our Milky Way galaxy, and it's got a whole bunch of young, hot, blue stars. Okay, now let's go back to the belt, but then let's draw the connecting line from right to left this time. Go the opposite direction. And continue about 20 degrees past that left belt star, and then you'll find the brightest star in the night sky known as Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S. And perhaps you'll also be able to see the constellation Canis Major, known as the Big Dog, right there. I think it looks pretty much like a dog. You could imagine that. But anyway, I'm going to stop there this month, and then next month we'll talk about Gemini, Auriga, and Canis Minor. However, if you get out there before bed and you look almost straight up, you'll find a pentagon-shaped constellation, which is the Charioteer Auriga, with its brightest star, Capella. Now, Gemini, the twins, will be to the left of Auriga, with bright Castor and Pollux heading them up. But for reference, Orion will be below them. But you're going to get to see them a little bit more before bed. That's when they will be right above you. Now, if you're getting up early and going to work, check out Leo and the Big Dipper. Now, Leo's going to be more to the west than before, but the Big Dipper will be super big, super bright above Leo's backward question mark. All right, well, that about wraps it up for February. Don't forget to check out my Podbean page, YouTube channel, Twitter feed, Stitcher, and iTunes. You can find me, Mr. Web PV, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and you can also find the PV Planetarium on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as well. Just search PV Planetarium and you'll see some of the stuff that's going on at the planetarium coming up. So with that, I'd like to wish you all very clear, dark skies for the month of February.